John chapter 1. Last week, the subject was visiting relatives. Today, it's visiting with Jesus. There are several portions I want to tell you about. I shall only read a few. So in John chapter 1, first of all, verse 35. Again on the morrow, John was standing and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Teacher, where do you live?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came therefore and saw where he lived, and they remained with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, Christ. Now, let's look at Luke 19, verse 1. And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, a man by name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He is gone in to lodge with a man that is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "Today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And now chapter 10, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." But the Lord answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And chapter 24, verse 50. And he led them out until they were over against Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, how few are the references to the life of our Lord. But thou hast told us that if everything was given us, the world would not contain all the books. How precious are the few things that you told us And we are glad that you've shown us today from a few scriptures about visits with Jesus. We marvel at this, and yet the scriptures have told us it's so. We're thankful for all of the variety of the passages that we've read telling about those who visited with Jesus, and we desire to know their significance for us in our lives. And therefore, you will have to help us by thy Spirit. So prepare the hearts of those who are listening, and prepare the lips of him who speaks, because we have read to us, our Father, you knew not the day of thy visitation. By thy Spirit, let men know when Jesus is visiting them, our God, and let that visitation not be in vain. So help us this day. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. One of the loveliest portions of the Bible is this, the one that tells us that our Savior is going to come back from heaven, receive us to himself, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. There is a time when our Savior returns and gathers to himself all those that belong to him, and then there will be no more visits of brief duration, but there will be an eternal abiding with Christ in heaven. Think of that. The portions that I read to you today and the others that I did not read all tell of varying lengths of time that were spent with Jesus when he visited. And you may have noticed that in some of the passages, Jesus visited men, and in other passages, men visited Jesus. This is like last week. Do you remember? I spoke about visiting relatives. Sometimes relatives visit you, and sometimes you visit relatives. And that puts a different atmosphere when it occurs. And in like manner, some of the portions I've read are of interest because it is Jesus who visits men, whereas the others, men visiting Jesus. And I would have told you another, and I probably will tell you more about him. In chapter 1, it was in the afternoon, I take it the 10th hour being 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when Andrew and probably John, the beloved apostle, came to visit our Savior. They stayed with him that day from 4 in the afternoon for the rest of the day. But it says concerning Nicodemus, he did not come in the afternoon. The same came unto Jesus by night. And so some come to Jesus by day, and some come to Jesus by night. But the difference is that in chapter 1 and 3, men come to Jesus. Whereas in chapter 19, Jesus came to men. In chapter 10, Jesus came to men. And then, a sad part of the Word of God, the last time we see our Savior on earth, and he takes his disciples out with them, the ones who have been with him some 3 years, and then he lifts up his hands and blesses them, and he goes back to heaven. And there are not going to be any more visits from Jesus unless they are of an exceptional nature. Some received visits from Jesus, but they were of an exceptional nature. So, today, it is not kinfolk visiting one another, as Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth, but it is the Savior himself visiting men or having men to visit him both ways. So let's think. Think of these three different visiting and what they signify. The first one I want to tell you about is visiting with Jesus to discover who he was. The second was, having discovered who he was, to visit with Jesus to enjoy him. Do you know anything about that? Isn't that remarkable? That some people think of their life and they say, if I do become a Christian, then all joy and all pleasure will be gone. Whereas, one of the most wonderful things in the world is knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior and enjoying him. And that is what happens when Jesus comes into your home and you know him and you love him. You can enjoy Jesus himself. And then, something that's so strange, and I've wondered about it because of the disciples. Think of this now. The Savior at times would leave the disciples and then he would come back to them. Most of the time they were with him, but then he would want to be alone and then he would be with them. But having been with him so long, having thought that they had lost him when he died, but then he comes back and you realize that he visits them and others, at times one, at times two, at times multitudes, above 500 brethren at once. After his resurrection, and please notice that, some visits with Jesus were before his death and resurrection, and some visits were with Jesus after his resurrection. That's most important too. But I think of this. I think that when he died, and all hope was gone, because that's what the two said, and this is why I am hindered. There are so many visits with Jesus that I could tell you about. This lovely visit in Luke 24, when you have Cleopas and his companion visiting with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And this was the thought of their heart when they first met Jesus. They said, we had hoped that this was he who should redeem Israel. And so all hope was gone. They thought that this Jesus, whom they had known for 3 years, that he was going to redeem Israel, establish his kingdom, but now they said, he's gone. You'll never see him again. But he had told them in the upper room, he said, I will see you again. And evidently, that meant nothing to them. But he said, I will see you again. And now, the ones who are hopeless, walking with him on the road to Emmaus, are the ones who are having a visit with Jesus. Now, after his resurrection, please notice, people are simply in a place, and Jesus comes to them. At times, he is expected. At times, he's not expected. But after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus comes to them. Comes to them. They do not even know he's alive, neither do they expect him to come and visit them. But he does. But then, finally, they understood that he had arranged to meet them in Galilee. And finally, they went to this mountain, and then the Lord Jesus met them there. They were expecting him then. But some of the visits of the Lord Jesus were unexpected, and some were expected. And at times, there were visits with Jesus, and this is so important. Jesus was visiting, and they did not know it. And they were visiting Jesus, and did not know it. You say, how? Remember that portion in Matthew 25. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he says, why? He says, because I was sick and you visited me. And they said, Lord, we never remember visiting you. When did we visit you? And he said, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. And so if I tell you that you are visiting those brethren, blood brethren of the Lord, or spiritual children of God, that you are visiting the Lord Jesus, you are visiting in his name, and they did not know it. And the sad part of Matthew 25, the good part, the part of humility, is that we were doing something for you, Lord, we were not aware of it. The other part was that things should have been done for the Lord Jesus, but they were not done. And he said, I was sick, and you did not visit me. You did not come unto me. And that's why I had that verse read, you knew not the time, the day of your visitation. So you don't realize it, but right now, in our day, Jesus is visiting with you. Because he did it personally when he was on earth himself. But then he said, you are my witnesses. And it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. And therefore, God holds you responsible to understand that Jesus, through his servant and servants, is visiting you. And you must know the day of your visitation. Some did not know that this was the last visit that Jesus would ever pay to them. Others knew that it was. So, this is the background of it. To think of some coming to Jesus, Jesus coming to some, and then that last farewell when Jesus left them. And what was so difficult is this. They thought that they had lost him, and then they saw that he was alive from the dead, but he's not going to come and go for the rest of their lives. He said, I came out from the Father into the world. Again, I leave the world and go back to my Father. And he did. Now, that's what's so sad. Some of you have loved ones. You've been with them your whole life long, and they died. And you'll never see that friend again on earth. You would if that friend were alive, but the friend is dead. But what if there were a friend who is alive forevermore, and you want more than anything else to see him and visit with him and be with him, but you're not going to see him anymore? And that's the way the Lord wants things. And it would be so difficult for me, because when our Savior was on earth and Peter would make a mistake, the Lord would come to him and say, Peter, the kings of the earth, from whom did they gather tribute of toll? From their sons or from strangers? You see, whenever Peter would get into trouble, the Lord Jesus would come and visit him. And the last thing our Savior did in the Gospel of John was visit Peter to get him out of trouble. He had denied the Lord, and our Savior visited Peter, and he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? So think of how important that is. Your failure, your sin, and when you do fail, the Lord Jesus comes and restores your soul and then tells you, I'm not casting you out. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. But what is so sad is that our Savior is alive forevermore, but he says, you're not going to see me anymore. And so these are the three settings about visits to Jesus. The first one tells us this. We like to quote that verse. The foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And that everybody went to their own home, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. That was true at certain phases of his ministry, but there was also a time when Jesus had a place where he lived. And that is a visit I would like to make to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was in Nazareth, well, his parents, it was their home. That was one thing. But when Jesus had left Nazareth, and he had his own home, and he would invite you to his home. If you came to see me in Goldsboro, I have ever so many books, but I wouldn't let you in to see them for this reason. When the hurricane came, part of my study had water to come into it, and I had to move things out to the center, and my study is in terrible shape. But I let David look at it, and he said, it doesn't look so bad. And so that is how you will have to look at his study, and then you will understand that I wouldn't let you into my study. But think now. The Lord Jesus, walking along, and you come behind him, and he turns around and he says, what are you seeking? And They say, Lord, where do you live? They do not want to speak to him there. They want to speak to him in private. And the Lord Jesus says, come and see. How interesting it would be to look at the home where our Savior lived on earth, to see how he arranged things, what was there and what was not there. And if he gave them anything to eat, what was it that he gave them to eat? I know from every reference in the Bible about meals with Jesus. You can preach on it sometime. You may read that whenever Jesus did the feeding, the menu never varied. You know what it was? Bread and fish. When he fed 5,000, what did he give him? It said, he gave them bread and fish. When he fed the 4,000, what did he give them? You say, bread and fish. In John chapter 21, when the disciples came out from fruitless fishing that night, what did he give them? You say, why? Bread and fish. If you ever went to eat with Jesus, he would give you bread and fish. And that's interesting because when he went to visit Martha, she was preparing ever so many things. And so those things were not important. But what is of interest is that our Savior allowed people to come to see him. I remember a sad experience I had ever so many years ago. I had a music teacher, and I had known him for ever so many years, and he was dying of cancer, and I went to see him, and I said, let me come and visit you. And he said, no, I don't want you to come. He was in such pitiful shape, he did not want me around when he was going to die. And one that I had known that had done so much for me for so many years, then he did not want me to come. He would not allow me into his house. And yet here is the Savior, and I think of this. There are those who are so important that you have secretaries. There's no way that you can get to them. But the Lord Jesus, he's simply walking along, and he hears people behind him, and he turns and he says, what do you see? Rabbi, where do you live? He understood what that meant. He said, come and see. And so there are some people who want to find out the truth about the Lord Jesus. They have heard about the Lord Jesus and learned something about him from John the Baptist. Because before they became Jesus' disciples, they were John the Baptist's disciples. And he's the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God. That's all he said. And so they left John and went after Jesus. But some, and think of this, the Son of God on earth, and two fishermen are walking along, and he says to them, come to my home. That is the graciousness of the Lord Jesus. I find that there are some, and please notice, in the second illustration I gave you, I told you about, it was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and it says, are you the teacher in Israel? And know not these things? And so there were some, like Nicodemus, of course he would be allowed to come to see Jesus. But our Savior is just as ready to let ordinary fishermen come to see him as he is Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel. And what happens is this, that the fishermen that come to the Lord Jesus are no different from Nicodemus who comes to the Lord Jesus. It may be that your station in life is lowly, but you need to be saved, and you need to come to Jesus and find out who he is. And if your station is the highest in life, you need to be saved, and you need to come to Jesus. And here is Nicodemus with all the proper approaches to Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. The Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so this is what you will learn about Jesus if you go to visit with him, that you are a sinner and you must be born again. But I am the ruler, I am the teacher of Israel. The Lord Jesus says, you must be born again. So here is one who has all the religion that man can get from God, and you are teaching that religion. And the Lord Jesus says, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. And so that's the first reason that you need to visit the Lord Jesus to find out who he is. The angel said who he was, and who he is known by his name. And I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what you need to visit Jesus for, to find out who he is. He is the only Savior of sinners. What is your name? Jesus. What does the name mean? I am the Savior of sinners. And that's what he told Zacchaeus. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the only thing that is of eternal importance to you to learn about the Lord Jesus is who he is and why he came to earth. Who are you? The Lord Jesus said, all together which I told you from the beginning. The Lord Jesus said that he is the king. Are you a king then? Yea, I am a king. And also I am one who came from heaven to be a witness for the truth. And so, whatever thoughts Andrew and John the beloved apostle had about Jesus, when they visited him for a few hours, when they left him, they went and found others and said, we found the Messiah. I promise you this, that if you will genuinely and sincerely visit the Lord Jesus to find out who he is and open your heart to the truth that he tells you, you will not go away wondering anymore about the Savior. You'll say, he's the Christ. He's the promised Messiah. He's the one that God has said from beginning to end of the Old Testament that's going to come into the world. And as Martha said, yea, I believe, Lord, that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. That's why you need to visit with Jesus, and that's why they needed to visit with Jesus. And I'm never afraid to introduce anyone to the Savior, to let them be with him. Forget all of these philosophers and wise men. You see, they haven't personally gone and met with Jesus, visited with him. If they will listen to the Spirit of God in their hearts, tell them who Jesus is. They will go away with the conviction that there is a Messiah, that there is a Savior, and I'm a sinner, and I have found the Lord Jesus. Or as Paul says, not only have you found God, rather, you've been found by God. And so they thought they were going to visit Jesus. They were trying to find out about him, whereas in reality, it's the Lord Jesus who is seeking them, and he is not afraid to reveal his life to you. He says to some, which of you convince me of sin? And not one of them could say a word. And the only things they could say about him were false witnesses that they brought against him. And he is altogether what he said he was, a man from the first to the last. The first question, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread. And the Lord Jesus demonstrated to Satan that he was the Son of God. And any man who visits the Lord Jesus, it only takes a brief while, you will discover who he is. That's why the two discovered who Jesus was. They wanted to know who he was, and they learned. This is what it says in John 7:17. If any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I teach from myself. I promise that to any man. Anyone who truly wants to know, then God will reveal to him that the doctrine that Jesus teaches is the doctrine of God. The Savior said, the words that I speak, they are not my words, but they are the words that the Father taught me to speak. And so, whatever uncertainty Andrew and John the Beloved had when they went to visit that day, when they left, there were never any more doubts. And instead of trying to find out about Jesus, having found out about Jesus, they went and told others about Jesus. Andrew goes to Simon Peter. And then they go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So some people come to learn about Jesus the way that Zacchaeus did. But understand that Zacchaeus would never dream of Jesus coming into his home or his going to Jesus' home. But he wanted to know who Jesus was. And so he climbs up that sycamore tree, and he's going to try to get a glimpse of Jesus as he passes by, and look him over, and see if from a distance he can figure out who Jesus is. And to his amazement, this one whom he did not know, of whom he had heard, when Jesus comes to the sycamore tree, What an embarrassing situation. Here I'm a wealthy tax gatherer, and Jesus comes and he looks up and sees me climb up a tree. And the Lord Jesus, it wasn't embarrassing to him, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come home, for today I must abide at your house. Now you see, in the first instance, the Lord Jesus invited them to go to his house. But in this instance, Jesus invites himself to go to his house. That is the Savior. Nothing embarrassing to him. Let me tell you something funny. I go to places and some who are important people in the assemblies never invite me to go to their homes. Well, in Durham, years ago, there was one of the elders and he had never invited me, to my knowledge, to go to his home. And I was looking up the chart. You see, they put up the hostess list and who is to take John Mills out. And I saw that this particular Sunday, nobody had signed that list. And so this elder that I knew, I went up to the list and I signed his name on the list. And so he was walking by and he looked up on the list and he said, who put my name on that list? And I simply said to him, I wonder, who put your name on that list? But anyway, I invited myself into his home, and that was the only way I was going to get there. I do not know if he wanted me, but his name was there, and I never confessed to him that I did. I simply asked the question, who did, when I got to his home? And so in like manner, the Lord Jesus goes along, and Zacchaeus is up there, and the Savior, without embarrassment, says, Zacchaeus, come down with haste. I'm going to abide at your house today. And how long did it take for Zacchaeus to wonder if there was truth and reality and love in the Lord Jesus? Why, that day. That's all it took. And so he discovered the things that he had heard about Jesus were true things, the good things. And the Savior said, today is salvation come to this house. How long do you think it takes a man to be saved? One day. One moment. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you are brought to that condition as a sinner, and you know that Christ is the Savior of sinners, when you call upon the name of the Lord, when your heart is opened and Jesus is received, that's when you become child of God. And that's why people are talking about, I hope that when I get to heaven, I will be allowed to enter in. The Lord Jesus said, today is salvation come to this house. Zacchaeus, you are saved. Nobody would accept you, but I've accepted you, and today salvation has come to this house, even though your occupation was one that was filled with reproach. Today is salvation come to this house. So think of that. Here are lowly fishermen, and the Lord Jesus loves them and saves them. Here is a distinguished teacher in Israel, and Jesus visits him, and he is saved when he visits Jesus. And here is this despised outcast, this tax collector, and Jesus is quite willing to go home with him, and he saves him. And so you discover that there is no one whom Jesus will not visit with, and there is no one whom Jesus will not save. And the only reason that a man would not want Jesus to come into his home, his spiritual home, is because that heart is filled with sin and darkness. And Jesus is the light of the world. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why men will not want Jesus to come. Why? Because he exposes you for what you are. The woman at the well of Samaria, she talks to the Lord Jesus just a few minutes, and finally she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. He knows all about her, and he knows all about you. You think you can hide something from Jesus? Even before he comes to your home to visit you, he knows all about you. He simply reveals to you what he knows about you, as he did to Nathanael. Nathanael is being brought to him, and Nathanael has said concerning Jesus, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the Lord Jesus already knows about Nathanael. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. How do you know me? And the Lord Jesus, when Nathanael was meditating under the fig tree, he did not know it, but he was visiting and meditating with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus knew about that. And he said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see what happens when a man sincerely, even briefly, visits with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether Christ comes to him or whether he comes to Christ. The truth is revealed concerning the person of Christ and his need to be saved by Christ. And Christ saves that man. Now, in Luke 24, it's one of the saddest portions in the Word of God. The man that I've loved, who has sustained me, who has illumined my life, the truth, he takes me out to Bethany. And then he lifts up his hand and blesses. And as he's blessing, he is taken up into heaven. And they're never going to see him anymore the way they did when he was with them on earth. He's gone. And the sad thing is this, that he's gone, but not forever. To see Jesus again, face to face, they have to die and go to be with the Lord, or they have to wait and the Lord has to come back for them. But I want to tell you one amazing thing that is just the opposite. You realize that when Jesus was on earth, that heaven missed him, and that when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah come from heaven to visit Jesus. And then, after that brief hour, they leave Jesus and go back to heaven. And they have to wait for Jesus to come to heaven before they see him again. But Jesus had left heaven, and they had to wait in heaven and then come to earth on the Mount of Transfiguration to visit Jesus. But there is a time coming when this one who has gone back to heaven, we're going to see him again. And what I told you at the first is that which I tell you at the last. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, or be caught up in the air to meet the Lord, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so, Jesus, when he was on earth, made visits to men. And today he is visiting you through the ministry of the Word of God. And he wants you not to fail to grasp your day of visitation. This is your day to be saved. Know your day of visitation. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, this is a remarkable thing that God would become manifest in the flesh, and then visit with men. He would let outcasts and fishermen come to visit him, and he would go to see them as well. We thank you for the person, the character of Jesus Christ. Let us know that many of us here have known the day of our visitation, that Jesus has come, and he wants salvation to enter our hearts this day. And so we pray, Father, that we shall understand that the Spirit of God is drawing us, and that we shall respond, that Jesus is presenting himself as the Savior of sinners, as he who loves them and died for them, and may they receive him into their hearts. Bless us. May this be a day of visitation, one of joy and not of sorrow. And having known him as Savior, let us know that someday he's coming to receive us to himself, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.